today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Some start off very well. They catch on fire. It's the new thing. They love the church. They love the morals. They love everything about it. I love the music. Who wouldn't want to be here early enough to worship God? But there's a disconnect somewhere in there. They're not really encountering God. They're encountering the ambiance. They like it. And then when difficulties come, trials of life hit, the persecution of being a Christian hits, they fall away.
If you've ever spilled a dark liquid onto a light fabric, you know how difficult it is to get a stain out. Sometimes we just live with it. As we'll see today, that's how the enemy plants false doctrine in a church. Just a drop of untruth is woven into a body of believers, destroying the unity among them and ruining the purity of the word. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, as we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled Understanding the Kingdom Parables.
In verse 34, it says that Jesus spoke in parables so it might be fulfilled by the prophet saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. We talked last week about the fact that this is not new information to us. He's speaking of mysteries. He's revealing mysteries. But we are not going to sit here and go, oh, mysteries. All right, what are the mysteries? Because we have been learning these mysteries since he shared them with the apostles, and they've been passing these truths down. It's called the Bible. It's the Word. It's the kingdom of heaven being established here on earth. And so it's not some mysterious thing for us here today, but it was brand new to them. I mean, these were Jews standing here before the Christ, who's introducing the idea to them that God loves them. I mean, they understood that they were the apple of his eye, that, you know, but they also understood you tread lightly around God. You know, he judges, he'll kill you, you know, if you go in unholy into his temple and tabernacle. And so the idea of a God who loves, and as they're going to learn, loves beyond just the camp of the Jews, but loves even Gentiles. So this is all mystery that is being unfolded for them. They'd only known Judaism, the promises to Israel. We covered verses 24 through 35 last week. And so far, here's what we've seen about the kingdom of heaven as it begins to unfold on earth. We've seen the beginning of the kingdom, that the Son of Man comes and spreads the gospel, shares the good news about the kingdom of heaven, and it falls on different types of hearts. Many of those hearts don't receive it or are choked out from passing it on or producing any fruit as a result of it. But there are some that receive and produce fruit and seed that continues the process. Then there was the opposition to the kingdom, that there is an enemy who comes in and sows bad seed, sows wickedness. We saw the parable of the wheat and the tares, and today we'll explain that because Jesus explains it today. And then we saw the expansion of the kingdom, that it will grow. Though it starts as small as an insignificant mustard seed, it will grow, but that not all the growth is necessarily good. And the disciples need to be aware of this, as they're going to be the ones who will go out and share, and they need to understand these things when they go out. Today we'll finish them up, hopefully. I'm planning to finish them up today. And we'll speak about the sons of the kingdom, the separation for the kingdom, and then at the very end, the commission of the kingdom. In verse 36, we read, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. Now, lawlessness here isn't what we think wickedness. Lawlessness is simply living as if there is no law or lawgiver, or in this case, as if there is no God. You can be a good person and live that way. So these are those who live as if there is no king on the throne. And will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because this is important. Your eternal life depends upon it. Jesus breaks down basically an overview of the kingdom of heaven as it is being established here on earth. He says, he gives us the parts. He who sows the good seed, well, that's the Son of Man. That's Jesus. The field, that's the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. Now, we talked about the seeds and the symbolism early on. He said, if you don't understand this first parable, how will you understand all parables? It's not literally talking about the seed as a person, as if Jesus is planting good people, and then Satan comes and plants bad people. The idea is that the seed that he casts, when it produces good people. It produces righteousness, righteous people who continue to pass down life and something of substance versus what the enemy sows. And he sows, whatever he sows, the people who grow up and receive those things, different philosophies, false religion, all of these things, they grow up and produce absolutely nothing. Nothing for the kingdom of heaven. Now, they do reproduce themselves. I mean, they produce seed just like anything else. A weed produces seed, right? I mean, those things just keep popping up. You know, you can't just pull it out and think it's gone. They keep producing. And so the tares do also. But the idea is they don't produce anything for the kingdom of heaven, anything beneficial. And so they'll be uprooted and destroyed. The enemy who sowed them, he says, is the devil. We do have a supernatural enemy who is seeking to destroy. His desire is to infiltrate the world, which obviously he has sway over, but even the church, the kingdom of heaven, so that he can bring people out with these strange ideas, strange philosophies, and hopefully choke out any growth, any unity in the body. And that's the enemy's desire. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So that at the end of the age, the angels will be the ones who take those who offend and practice lawlessness and cast them into the furnace of fire, which we know as hell. So the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then God concludes, or our Lord concludes, by saying, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is very important. If you understand this, listen up. Get it. This is important. It's an overview of what is happening right now on planet Earth concerning the kingdom of heaven as it's being established and what will happen at the end of this age, just before eternity. The kingdom has been initiated by the Son of Man, by Jesus. He began it. He's the king on the throne. He sowed good seed. He came and he said, I have come that you might know the truth. The truth will make you free. You'll understand what this is all about. This is basically what he's sharing here. The truth in parable form. Here's what's going on, guys. And so he sowed good seed. And it took root in some hearts. And those became his disciples or his apostles. from whom the gospel has continued to pass. We read stories about missionaries. We read stories about those who've died, martyrs and martyred, killed for their faith. How they could have had great careers in this world, many of them. Some of them gave up riches and wealth and businesses and everything, name, accolades, trophies, to go and to serve the Lord in the missionary field or for nothing, rather than sitting here making millions. And they died, and they're going to enter heaven with that rich welcome. Because that's what this life is all about. It's simply the womb of eternity. A baby doesn't want to stay in the womb forever. At least they don't know that they don't want to stay there. When they go out and they're born and they come into this world, it's huge. It's vast. It's, wow, who would want to go back to the womb, right? Well, we are in the womb of eternity here. God is building a kingdom, drawing men to himself. Everyone is welcome. Unfortunately, many hearts just won't listen, won't receive. And eventually, we will all be catapulted. Whether we die or the rapture takes place and we go off into that final period of judgment, we're all going to end up standing before our Lord one day. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is initiating here the kingdom. Speaking of the fruit produced of the kingdom in the parable, Satan comes along and begins to sow in false doctrine, worldly philosophy, etc., so that the tares grow up and choke out any growth. Jesus says, let them all grow together. And then at the end, the reapers will sort them out. The angels will separate in the end. I imagine we're going to be very surprised in heaven. The angels have to separate because we can't tell the difference sometimes. And in the very end, the difference will be made. Some start off very well. They catch on fire. It's the new thing. They love the church. They love the morals. They love everything about it. I love the music. Who wouldn't want to be here early enough to worship God? But there's a disconnect somewhere in there. They're not really encountering God. They're encountering the ambiance. They like it. And then when difficulties come, trials of life hit, the persecution of being a Christian hits, they fall away. And we talked about in that, the parable of the soils. The disciples understood that whenever, even Paul wrote, that some left us, Peter mentioned it, when some left us because they were never really among us. It's not that, man, they were among us. They were one of us and then they left. He said, yeah, they were among us. They were with us. But the reason they left is it proved they were really never one of us. That's why they left. And this is what happens even today in the church. But there are others, and they're honest. They want answers. They want to hear from God. They want genuineness. And unfortunately, sometimes our lives aren't genuine enough. Our lives aren't clear enough. They're not a light enough. They're not salt enough. And so it's hard for them. They want to know the Lord. God is working on their heart. He's reeling them in. And we might not look at them and go, we might look at them and actually go, they need Jesus. They need the Lord. But God is working in their heart. They are genuine, but they're searching. And they want something real. And God's doing a work. And whether they come to your church or they go to a church a few years later in another state, they end up in heaven. And we're going to go to heaven one day and we're going to be surprised at who is there, and we're going to be surprised at who might not be there. At the end, it's the reaper's job. The angels will separate. For now, it's our job to be genuine. Do you love God? Do you want to follow Him? Is He your Lord? Do you speak to Him? I don't mean cast prayers up to Him at given hours or given times or right before your meals or just before bedtime. I mean, do you have a relationship with Him? Because that's the difference. Not how good you were or how bad you were necessarily, although a relationship with Him certainly influences you towards a more moral and a more godly and Christ-like life. That's not the dividing line, but a relationship with Him. Here's the point I think we can get from this parable. Today is not the day of judgment. Today is the day of evangelism. Today is the day to share, to scatter the seed, to continue to bear fruit for the kingdom of heaven and more seed that might produce more life. We are just to cast the seed today, not to try to discern heaven and hell. Now, with that said, though it's not the day of judgment, we are to make judgments. If there are those who don't live godly lives, they say they're a Christian, they don't live godly lives, the scriptures tell us we need to discern the fruit and don't hang out with them. They're not living godly lives. They're watching movies that you might be convicted not to watch. They're doing things that might corrupt where you're at or your character. And so you have to separate. There is that idea of separation, but not the day of judgment. But we have to discern in order to separate. So today is the day to share the gospel. Have you shared the gospel lately? Have you ministered to someone? Hey, have you invited someone to church? I know it's an old, archaic, Baptist kind of thing to do, but it's really not. It's called the church. If they don't have a church, invite someone to church. See if they're willing to come. It's a small form of rejection if they say no. There could be worse forms of rejection. But reach out. Find out if they're going to church. And if they're going to a church, then encourage them. Encourage them to do more for their church. You know, get involved. Encourage them to grow. And I want to encourage you the same thing. Be faithful. Follow the Lord. Get involved. Grow. Be committed. Give to Him to show that you trust Him. And cast the seed, witness to this lost world. So that's an overview of the kingdom as we look at this parable. Verse 44 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, I lumped those two together because they're basically two parables that teach the same basic truth. Truth number one is the value of the treasure, the value of the pearl. That's a truth being spoken. These treasures, this pearl, it has value. And then truth number two is that there's joy and desire in the one who is seeking them. Here's the question, though. We know those, so you don't have to be a Bible scholar to get those. The question really is, who is the man? Who's the merchant? What is the treasure, the pearl? And here's the popular interpretation. Jesus is the pearl. Jesus is the treasure. You have to admit, He's very valuable. He's a treasure. It'd be my pearl of great price for sure. And then the sinner, well, that's the one who's seeking. We've all heard it. You know, we're on a search. We're empty. There's a void. We're looking. And so we stumble and we find the pearl or we find the treasure or we're looking for these things. And he finds Christ and he realizes He is the truth, the way, the life, and it's worth everything we have, giving up everything we have in order to gain Christ, to gain salvation. And the truth is, well, that is true. Giving up everything. Is there anything you wouldn't be willing to give up to know that you are His? You know, marriage works that way, right? You got to give up your family. You got to give up your home. Sometimes you got to give up some of your dreams. You got to lay everything aside and you come together. And so there's truth to that. But there are also some problems that are hard for me to overcome with that interpretation. First, we said that first parable set the tone for us and gave us perspective from which we should continue to interpret the rest of the kingdom parables with. And in verse 38, it set the standard that the field was the world. Okay, so we're not searching in the heavenlies. There's something in the world that's here. Second, the man in the first parable was Jesus and not us. So now we have to swap, and we become the man now. He's the man there, and then we're the man here. Third, Jesus is not hidden. In fact, he's probably the best known figure in all of history. He's not hidden. He's not hiding. Fourth, the sinner does not seek God. The Bible is very clear. Romans 3:11 says, there is none who seeks after God. No one. Fifth, salvation cannot be purchased. You can't sell anything and get Jesus. You can't sell anything and get heaven or salvation. And if you could purchase it, do you have enough? What do you have that's of value enough to purchase Christ or salvation? Scripture says that our best works, our righteousness, is as filthy rags. Another thing to consider is this man buys the whole field, even though there's only one thing in it that he wants, just as Jesus paid the price for the entire world. He paid the price for all sin, even if it was for one. It seems that the picture here and what may be communicated in the context of everything being spoken, Jesus is communicating in this parable God's love and desire for men rather than how important men should see him. Because he's passing this information on to his disciples. Who is it he's explaining this to? He pulled them aside and they said, explain the parable. He's explained the parable and now he's going further. And as he sends these guys out, he's given this commission he's about to tell them. And then later on, he'll give them the commission to go out. He's saying, look, this is how God views the people. That's what it seems to be speaking. It's a picture of the Savior seeking the sinner and not the other way around. It fits in the context of another popular parable where the shepherd left the 99 just to find the one who was lost. And Jesus even said of himself, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Something noteworthy, and why there may be two of these parables here is very interesting. Pearls were not valuable to Jews at that time. So when they heard about the treasure, the Jews would have said, oh, that makes sense. I understand that treasure, value. But when he brought in the picture of the pearl, well, okay, a pearl's not really valuable to the Jews. You can search the Old Testament. There's really no value given to them in the Old Testament. Now, we know that there are gates made of pearl in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the Jews never saw pearls as all that valuable. They saw them sort of as coral or, you know, you found a pretty rock, right? I mean, it's a pretty rock, maybe noteworthy, maybe you'd pick it up and keep it, but it had no value. And that's the way that Jews saw the pearl. Nice, but insignificant. On the other hand, Gentiles valued pearl. It was a precious gem to the Gentiles. And Jesus' wording is very insightful when he talks about a pearl. You see, a pearl is the result of an irritation, an oyster, a little grain of sand or dirt, something that would irritate, gets inside, works its way into the shell of the oyster, and then the oyster, because, well, imagine this. You ever had something like stuck under your tongue? Maybe not, I don't know, but it's not very comfortable. And you're trying to get it, and you know, you can't get to it. That's the idea here. And so what a oyster does is it sends this serum called nacre and it begins to form around it to protect it so that it's not harsh, it's not an irritation, it begins to cover it so that in the end we have this beautiful pearl.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we'd like to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard is exactly what you're looking for in a church. then please join us. You can find our service times for Sunday morning worship and our midweek Bible studies at our website. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. Again, for more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll be able to listen to or download any of our messages, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
Somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covered.